Colossians chapter number 3. If you got your book, turn to lesson number 3. Brother Jackie finished up the week before camp meeting his study on study number 2 on in our book One Another, and he done a tremendous job. But we're going to be looking in Colossians chapter number 3 tonight, and mainly at verse 16, but keep your Bibles open. We may look at some other scripture as we go along. I don't know that we'll get done tonight. I doubt it very seriously, but we're going to do our best to get what we can. More about quality than quantity. I'd much rather us get the goods out of being here than to just say we finished a chapter, if that makes sense. Sort of like when you read your Bible, let me encourage you, don't, you've all seen these read through your Bible in a year plans. You know, and you got so many chapters you got to read every day, and I'm not against that, but sometimes, especially when you got some really long chapters and you got a lot of reading to do in a day, catch yourself speed reading just so you hit that quota and check it off the list. Really, I mean, other than saying I read my Bible all the way through, you probably wasting your time. Slow down. This is God's Word. If you don't get but two words of it, it's better than two chapters if you get it. Amen. And so, Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 16. The Bible said, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." I'm going to go on and read verse 17 just because it's so good and goes along right with what we're dealing with. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Our text verse and key verse for this study is found in verse 16, where the Bible said, "Let the Word of Christ," listen to this, what I was just talking about, and had no idea, I wasn't saying it for the purpose of what I was going to be teaching on tonight, but it's exactly what I was saying. Let the Word, and this is what God said, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." And so God is interested in His Word dwelling in us. Amen. Not just in and out. A thought pop in your head, and just quick as it popped in your head, it pops out. Or somebody say something, and this is the worst. You ever had somebody, you introduce yourself and say, "Hey, my name is Michael Rochester, how you doing?" And they'll say their name to me. It happens at church a lot with visitors. I'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm getting around, I got a million things in my mind going on. And I'll say, "I'm Michael Rochester, how you doing?" And they'll say their name, and they might as well save their breath. Because I could turn around in a complete circle and look, and if my life depended on what their name was, I wouldn't know it. I'm telling you, God don't want us to read just to be reading. He wants His Word to dwell, to stay, to find a lodging place in our hearts. And dwell means to live. I mean, to live there. And so by way of overview, we're talking about being admonished. Matter of fact, the title of the lesson is Admonish One Another. And to be honest, nobody really likes to be admonished. Nobody, and we'll say more about that. It's usually not a pleasant thing when you've been admonished, because it usually comes in the form of a rebuke or something of that nature, whether from a parent or a pastor. But we must, admonishing is a Bible word. It is a Bible truth, and it's something that we cannot overlook, and something God strongly worded in His in the Word of God and in the Bible, and so we need to look at it. So by way of overview, do you resent being reproved or rebuked? Or are you indifferent to admonishing someone who needs it? Not just do you not like it, but when you see somebody else who needs admonishing, do you sort of recluse and say, well, I don't want to be the one to say that? If you say things that shouldn't be happening, in other words, see a child running through the church and acting like a hoodlum. I won't mention no names. Climbing up walls and tearing things down. And it's our responsibility. If you are an adult, whether you're their mom or daddy or not, either go get their mom or daddy, or I give you permission. Admonish them to not act like hoodlums. This is God's house. If they want to act like hoodlums at their house, well, that's mom and daddy's job to teach them better. But this is God's house. And there used to be a day and an hour where God's house was a place of holiness and a place of loftiness, a place where we come out from among the world. And it was a place that was just above and beyond. We've got away from that, and I'm admonishing myself. I think we need a reset, to be honest with you. I think that we need to go back on some things. I think we've allowed some fashion and some different, I don't know the word. We've just allowed different trends to set in, and it's sort of taken our eyes off of and lowered our standards for what the house of God used to be. If some of the old men of God was to walk in the normal average day Baptist church, and I'll even say it since I'm preaching here and I pastor here, was to walk in and stand at this pulpit, their eyes would get big, and I'm sure they would have something, a strong admonishment to say. What are y'all doing? What are y'all wearing? What are y'all doing? How are y'all acting in the house of God? I didn't say that. I said if an old preacher said that. But I say amen to that, and I do say that. This is still, because God hadn't changed, His Word hadn't changed, His standards hadn't changed. Amen. And so, so the goal after this study, at the end of and the conclusion of this, is that we all recognize the need to be thoroughly immersed in God's Word. You'll know how to be better at being admonished, because all admonishment is not bad. Some is good, but some is bad. Did you know if God sends a message, I'm trying to stay real still. It goes against everything in me, but I'm trying to stay real still to keep your job easy so you can listen to preaching tonight. Listen, Brother Jackie, if you're watching, I'm trying to be you. Let me lock in. I'll stay here. Hey, Miss Anita. How many of you have been sitting in church in your life, in your Christian life, and you knew God sent a message through a preacher that was just for you? And I mean, it admonished you. God put His big, I mean, eternal finger right on your heart, pointed right to the thing that was out of place and said, yes, I'm talking to you. He did everything but call your name, and it felt like He was calling your name. People say, well, I've heard people say, Lord, it's really hilarious if you think about it. People say, pray and say, Lord, if I've done wrong. You don't have to ever pray that silly prayer again. When I was a child, I prayed the prayers like, now I lay me down to sleep. God is great, God is good. You remember them little prayers? Ain't nothing wrong with them. Them was children prayers. But there ought to come a time we put away childish things. And you ought not ever pray, Lord, if I've done something wrong, show it to me. Because can I tell you, if you're saved, and most of us in here are, you know that the Holy Ghost of God is faithful to put His finger on you and say, hey, you out of bounds. That's a foul ball. You in foul territory. That's wrong. And you don't have to say, what, Lord? He'll say, you know what? And we'll try to push it to the back of our mind and act like that ain't part of our life, and because we've already convinced ourselves that it's okay, it ain't that bad. But we really know, because the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is very poignant. And He don't play games, and He don't play peekaboo and hide and go seek with you. God will admonish you through His Word, and He'll convict you. And He don't leave it up to guessing. He will name it. Amen. Study it. Listen. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten. Jesus was the Word. Jesus was the Word. Follow and study the life of Jesus. Every sinner that He came across, what did He do? He pointed out their sin. Oh, yeah. What? You say, I find Jesus being so compassionate. And He was compassionate. He did show compassion. He did heal them. But what did that was caught in adultery, He didn't just say, oh, they've been mean to you and they want to stone you and they treating you bad here. Just go and I forgive you and everything's going to be all right. No, He said, where's your husband? And she said, I ain't got one. He said, I know. And He called to her forefront. He didn't skirt it. He didn't skate around it. He said, you've had five. And the ones you live with now ain't. He'll get very specific with you. He don't paint in broad brush strokes. Jesus, follow Him out. He will call you a sinner, and He will call your sin out to you. So you don't have to play guessing game with God. And so thank God for this ministry of admonishment. Because listen, if a parent don't correct their child, then they don't love their child. And God loves His children. Matter of fact, He said that if he don't correct us, if He don't whoop us and take us to the woodshed, then we are bastards and not sons. We're illegitimate children. No, God's going to chasten His children. Because He loves us, and He tells us what's right, and He teaches us what's right over and over, and admonishes us, do right, and this is what's right, and don't do wrong, and that's what's wrong. And He's gracious. But he admonishes, and he does it very specifically. And if God does that, he's showing us and giving us a template as fathers, Brother Cameron, as the head of our homes, the husbands, of how we ought to never just leave it up to our children. Well, just dress the way you want to. It's your life. Just be what you want to be. I mean, if you feel like a girl, but you was born a boy, well, that's your choice. It's your life. No, I would strongly admonish you as a parent to early, as soon as they can hardly hear and understand, that you train them and teach them and pound it into their head from the Word of God that there is a God created male and female. You won't find a transgender in that Bible nowhere. Amen. And so our goal is that we recognize the need to be thoroughly immersed in God's Word. Also, to commit to being involved in teaching and admonishing one another according to God's Word. And it's pretty hard to admonish somebody properly if we're not, first of all, immersed and dwelling in the Word of God. If we don't have the Word of God living in us, then how are we going to tell somebody else what the Word of God says? And it's one thing, and I have seen preachers, and in my immaturity and in my younger life, out of immaturity, I have used the Word of God and admonished people and done it without grace and give them truth without grace, and it was wrong. Are you listening? Anybody beginning with God, God always admonishes with a stroke of grace, because it ain't to knock you down, it's to lift you up. Amen. And then the third goal out of this lesson is that we'll learn how to admonish fellow believers through music and with grace. And so, let's begin. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the message of admonition, the ministry of admonition, and the means of admonition. And so, first of all, admonish one another. Look, Colossians 3:16, we read it. We've all experienced it. Perhaps this week you've been admonished. Perhaps this week you've admonished somebody. And you say, and some may not know, what does admonish mean? This is what it means. To admonish is a warning. It is to reprove or to exhort. And so, have you ever noticed that most people don't like to be admonished unless they're being exhorted? Have y'all noticed there ain't many old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-preaching men of God who have books in the big stores that are selling like hotcakes and becoming multimillionaires? Wonder why. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you who's selling them. Let me tell you who's selling them and becoming uber rich. Those who they may admonish, but they're lopsided. They only admonish in exhortation. Never do they admonish with a reproach or a rebuke. And the Bible still says, preach the word, and that we should reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Would you say reproof and is a negative or a positive? It's negative. When you reprove, that's a hmm. If I rebuke you, That's a negative. Now, exhort, that's a positive. So out of the command that God give us, two out of the three, what is that, 66%? Is negative when it comes to admonishing. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all long, listen, Joel Osteen, I'd love for y'all to bring, Brother Jackie, give me a book signed supposedly by Joel Osteen. It wasn't, it was Brother Jackie's handwriting. And I still want to know how you got that book. Did you pull it out of your library? He must have already read it so many times, he had it memorized and didn't need it no more. So he give it to me. Old Smiley himself, Mr. Joel. Some of you probably watch that guy. Listen, I'll give you $100 if you bring me a sermon or a book written by Joel Osteen where he is admonishing and reproving and rebuking sin. Now do you see why the Bible calls them men hirelings? They're in it for the money. They'll say what they have to say. They'll say what they must say to get by and to get crowds. And everybody loves a good pump them up speech. Everybody loves to be exhorted. Everybody. And even in independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing Baptist church, we have got into this rut of constantly wanting to hear messages of how I can better myself and how my life can be better and how I can be better. And it's all about me, 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 and how I can be better, better, and feel better and do better and be more happy. Listen, all that's fine in its place, but the Christian life ain't about me, me, me. It's about him, 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 and them, them, them. Amen. If you want real joy, Brother Jeff Stewart, I heard him say this years ago, joy is J, how you spell joy? J, that's put Jesus first. O, others second. You third. Do that and you can have joy. That's right. And so, people, I don't even have to spend no more time telling you. People don't like to be admonished. They don't like to be criticized or rebuked or told that they're doing this wrong or they're doing that wrong or they're erring in their doctrine or they're... People will buff up like a porcupine when you tell them you're wrong. That's out of the way. That's not right. Listen, everybody look up here for a moment. Brother Milton Taylor preached here Sunday morning. Y'all remember? What a man of God. I don't know anybody who has a negative word to say about Brother Milton Taylor who's saved. One of the most humble, if not the most humble, sincere, dedicated, true blue men of God I've ever known in my entire life. And Brother Milton Taylor stood right here behind this pulpit and talked about how his pastor, brother, former pastor, he just retired, Brother Tony Finney, one of the greatest, godliest men, most humble men, said that he wouldn't even let and give some of the dress conduct. If people was going to get in the choir at Conesty Baptist Church, at Brother Finney's church, now Brother Aldridge's church, where Brother Milton Taylor's a member, how strict and tight and right the dress code must be. You know how it got that way? Brother Finney had to do some admonishing. He had to do some reproving and rebuking and saying, in love and graciously, I know Brother Finney, and he wouldn't do it mean-spirited, but he wasn't going to compromise the holiness of God and the house of God and drop the standard and say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. No, he said, if you're going to be in leadership under my watch, because I'm here as the pastor representing the Lord, and I ain't got to stand before you one day. I got to stand before him. So at Conesty Baptist Church, and furthermore for Morningstar Baptist Church, we ought to not look like the world. We ought to go out of our way to be modest. Are you listening to me? Because I didn't know I was going to get into this tonight. I just got a little nibble, Brother Jeff. It might be a big one. Listen, where did modesty go? Why don't we hear preaching? And I'm under conviction. I've preached myself under conviction. Because I ain't preached on it enough. I have not admonished enough. But when did it become okay for women to wear? And I'm gonna tell you, and use my own children and go against my own self and have to ask God to forgive me in front of y'all and God and everybody. But when did it become okay for women to wear pants that they call leggings, that you can see every part of their body? And y'all know, don't look down, it ain't time to pray yet. That you can see every part of their body. If you was to put a quarter in their back pocket, you could tell if it's on heads or tails. You know I'm telling the truth. You might as well take a bucket of paint and just paint it on, and it'd be no different. And then y'all got a little smart, and this is what y'all did. Y'all said, well, the preacher said we had to can't wear pants in the choir and can't wear shorts. So y'all took, if I can get it, and y'all took and y'all got them leggings on, and y'all better not come up here in no leggings. So y'all wear a t-shirt that comes down about right there. You say, well, I got something on. It's supposed to look like a dress. That ain't a dress. That ain't a skirt. That is a shirt. My question is, the Bible, God goes out of his way. He admonished over and over and over. Read your Bible. Don't get mad at me. Read your Bible about how much God has to say about a woman looking modest. And I ain't talking about the Old Testament. You say, oh, preacher, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the Bible, by the way, but let's leave the Old Testament out. Just go to the New Testament and do a study on women modesty. It's like, and by the way, I heard a lost man in a restaurant the other day make this statement. This girl come in, and she was dressed just like, about like everybody else dressed, all what's in style. You know, them leggings, spandex, just so tight. I don't know how y'all get in them. Honest before the Lord. If that's comfortable, I'll never understand that. But listen to me. A lost man who don't claim to be saved. Are you hearing me? Said, she know why, black fella, she know why. She wearing them things. She wants you to look. She know why she wear them things. she wants you to look. And you know what? That's the truth. And I don't care if they are comfortable. God never said for us to, hey, you want me to tell you what ain't comfortable? This stinking colored noose ain't comfortable. It ain't. But I'm simply saying, I admonish you ladies in love. Let me go a step further while we're here, just while we're here. He said, oh, do you know how prostitutes, women of the night, of ill repute, you know how people used to know they were prostitutes? How many of y'all ever watched Little House on the Prairie? Raise your hand. About everybody. Now, if I was asked that and the kids were over here, probably wouldn't none of them raise their hand. But go back and watch them old shows like Andy Griffith and Gunsmoke and Little House on the Prairie. And just look what them women were. Wonder why that is. Do you know how women in the old days, do you know how the men knew who the prostitutes were? Anybody know? Does anybody know? Huh? If they wore anything above their knee, that's called a loose woman. That's what the old folks used to say. You know who the oldest folk, he's better known as the Ancient of Days, God said exactly that. That we're naked if we reveal our thigh. I don't like it. I didn't make the rule. You can walk around naked if you want to. I'm admonishing you not to. But there ain't a man in here that ain't got some sugar in his tank. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? A sodomite, use a Bible term, that don't know and won't admit. They something about if a woman comes in and her dress or skirt is down here, it never catches your eye. But when it's up here, and I ain't talking about, listen, it'll make you, it's made me take a second look many a time. Just that thigh. God knows what he's doing. God knows. I say, why would God make such a rule? Because God knows man. He created us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he knew what would tempt us. And he knew when we see that thigh, it's something different about a knobby knee and then that beautiful thigh. God, read your Bible. I didn't make that up. I had no intentions tonight of dealing with dress. None. But my time is gone. But listen to me. Don't get mad at me tonight, because honestly, we need way more. What, can we at least all agreeing with this? Everybody, why are you putting your Bibles up? Can we leave agreeing on this? The church as a whole has slid a long way from where our standards used to be. Wouldn't you say amen to that? So this is what I leave you with. Who changed? God or the church? I would have to say, because I have Bible for it, he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. And so since God don't change and His Word don't change, can I leave you graciously? I tried to make you smile tonight while I was taking the sword and sticking it in you. And I even said, I've allowed it in my own home. There's some changes that need to be. See, we hear things, but hearing it ain't enough. We need to heed what we hear. I got to give you this verse. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, Brother Jeff, say tonight, you come in here, and you ain't been in church most of your life, but you didn't think it nothing wrong. I mean, you knew it was wrong to get drunk, but drinking 5 or 6 beers, you know, which that get most people drunk. Drinking a beer or two, I guess. I mean, one beer would get me drunk, but your say Macy come in and said, Daddy, let's drink a beer together for supper. And you save now. Wouldn't you want a preacher to say, Brother Jeff, now that you saved, hey, that bottle is dangerous, and ain't never been an alcoholic that didn't first take the first drink. And I admonish you, brother, please don't train your daughter to drink that beer. Now would that be out of bounds? We could all say amen to that. Because I hope ain't no beer drinkers in here. Then why is it so different when it's plain and dry about modesty? Why is dress so different? We'll get mad. I'll tell you why. Because we've allowed it to penetrate our own lives and homes and standards, and we don't want to change. But the Bible says judgment must first begin at the house of God. And I'm saying, there's some things I'm going to have to change at my own house. There's some standards I'm going to have to change at my own house. And I'm not going to go home and browbeat my children and say, God, bless God, you will not. No, that ain't. But I'm going to try to say this is what God says. And I love you. And I don't want boys lusting after my children. I want boys to see my daughters and say, that must be a Christian. Amen. Don't you want that for your daughters? And you that have boys, don't you want some girls to be around that your son ain't going to get caught up lusting after because she's so loose? And amen. I'm saying that we got to make some changes. Because the Bible still says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Most churches, and I'm talking about churches like ours and including ours, when we go to the mall or we go out in the world, you couldn't pick us out from the next group because we've just meshed and merged to look just like them. We might as well say amen or oh me, because what I'm saying is truth. Amen. Okay, last statement. I admonish you not to be mad at me because I just give you the truth. Let's stand together. Let's stand together.